Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, well, let me see you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Praise God.
Amen. Well, praise the living God. We getting ready to get on there.
I'm listening to enjoy it.
Amen.
Go ahead, sister. You're on there.
Well, praise the Lord and glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna. Glory be to God, my master, my savior, my Elohim, my El Shaddai, my source, my provider, my reason for being, my God. In Jesus' name I come. I bow my knee and my heart before you, Lord God, giving you all the glory and all the praise, crying from my heart and my soul, weeping with all the hurt I can muster up for those that lie in ignorance and not understanding, who have no wisdom and no knowledge of the things that you are doing, God. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we need you. We need you. We need you. Desperately, we need you, Lord. There's not a second, not a split second, not a half of a second that we can say we don't need you.
This call is out
to the body of Christ. Those that have been born again and have tasted, our Father, which art in heaven, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, Lord God, as it is in heaven. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us, Almighty God, of our debts as we forgive, we forgive, we forgive our debtors. Lead us, Lord, not into temptation, but deliver us from all that is sinful and evil, sinful and evil, sinful and evil. Oh, glory to God in the name of Jesus, and to thy glory in Jesus' name. In that name that is above every name, no other person, no other being can come to you. None of the other servants of those other gods can come to you in this name, but those that have been tasted and seen, that have tasted and seen that you are God, to the glory of God. No, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. My phone rings every week as I get on the line. And I got all these lines. However, we thank God for this day. This day, we hope tomorrow, this time, that we will be celebrating a new leader that God has appointed. We hope and pray that God will have mercy on this whole United States and every soul that's in it. And my plea to every soul that is under the sound of my voice, please, please surrender your souls and your minds to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to teach to you tonight because I am so troubled by how many brothers and sisters have tasted the bug of ignorance. And you know the Bible talks about ignorance. The First Corinthians say, if a man wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. But God's people are wise because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. He is wisdom. We're not wise, but God is wise. And if we yield ourselves to him, his wisdom will work through us. God is almighty, omnipotent, sovereign. He knows our downsettings and our uprisings. And Ephesians chapter 1 say, before the foundation of the world, he has called and chosen and predestinated us. So I'm begging you, those who have been straddling the fence, who are on the fence line, who don't know, who are talking pure D ignorant about the choice between the two devils. If you say that you are a servant of the Most High God, and that you've been born again, and that you are saved, St. John chapter 3, 15, 16, 17, and 18. If you say that you have tasted and know that God is good and have passed from death unto life, then all I can say is tune your ears and your mind, your spiritual ears, your spiritual mind, to hear from God. I must teach on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I could speak with tongues of men and angels, and I do speak with tongues, it will profit me nothing, my friends, if I don't have the love of God in me, if I don't love my enemy as much as I love those who are good to me. And I'm here to tell you, our enemy is running for president of this United States. And I still have to love him. I still have to love him. You still got to love him. No matter what the results are tomorrow, we must love one another, or you will not see the kingdom of God. You will not be in the kingdom of God. As I said, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from the Amplified, because I wanted to sink in your hearts and your mind to know where it won't be a misunderstanding, because a lot of us Christians, we're very free with our tongue. We say all manner of evil. The Bible says, speak evil of no man. But yet we freely speak evil of another Christian or another person, and we freely lie. We freely lie. These are abominations, abominable things we do. We are above the world. We're not like the world. We've been separated out of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. The Holy Spirit of the living God lives in us. That's what makes us different. I know they say we're narrow-minded people and that we are not very broad-minded and can't see anybody else's point but our own. Well, that's because straight is the gate that leads, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. You know, I keep reminding you that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Elohim, the Creator, Colossians chapter 1, walked this earth, St. John chapter 1, walked this earth in the flesh for 33 years. 33 years, the Creator, the one who created all things. Before I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 1 for you right quick. I, Paul, an apostle, special messenger of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, by the will of God and Timothy and brother to the saints, the consecrated people of God and believing and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace, spiritually favor, and blessings to you and heart, to you and heart, peace from God our Father. We continually give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as we are praying for you. This is Paul writing the letter to us. But we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the leaning of your entire human personality on him in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness of the love which you have and shown for all the saints, God's consecrated one. That was verse 4. Verse 5. Because of the hope of experiencing what is laid up, reserved, and waiting for you in heaven, of this hope you heard in the past in the message of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you indeed in the whole world. That gospel is bearing fruit and still is growing by its own inherent power, even as it has first heard, even as it has done among yourselves ever since the day you first heard and came to know and understand the grace of God in truth, to know the grace in understanding the undeserved favor of God, in reality, deep and clearly and thoroughly, becoming accurately and intimately acquainted with it. I hope you understand, my brothers and sisters. I hope you understand that salvation is an experience that takes place in that eternal soul of yours. This is what I'm talking about, eternal life past. We are going to live forever. And this is what Paul is pleading to. And I'm pleading to you tonight, this night before the presidential election here in America. I know this here broadcast is heard all over the world, in Japan, in China, in Italy, in France, in countries. There are people in the bush who might have a some kind of little radio, because God's word will not be hampered. It will not be smothered. God's word. We must shout it to the rooftops. Jesus Christ is soon to come. And no matter how billionaires and millionaires and how much money they throw away on politics, God is the only way. And he's the only hope we have. There is no other hope besides Jesus Christ. We are all men most miserable if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm begging you to follow the rules. Yield yourself. Throw yourself on the mercy of the living God to ask him for his direction in any way you need to go. The Bible says, in all of our ways, acknowledge him. We rely on God. Please, please, please be careful. Be careful about saying things that God told you and the saying things that God has commanded you to do. Make sure you're careful about it. And if you can't be sure, just quote the word. Quote the word and say, I want to be in obedience to the word. But don't go lying on God. Don't go lying on God, because I'm telling you, the God we serve, yes, when I follow me, I make a zillion mistakes. But if I would just take the time to acknowledge God, the Lord, not God, not just God, but the Lord God, the Elohim God, the sovereign God, the Most High God, if I would just take that time, I promise you, I wouldn't have any mishaps. Of course, we all need to stumble because that's the only way you can grow. But I want you to know, I left off at verse 7. You so learned it from I've heard it pronounced Epaphras on my Bible on tape. Our beloved fellow servant, he is faithful, a faithful minister of Christ in our stead. And as our representative and yours, verse 8, also he has informed us of your love in the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that, people? Your love in the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, I have to keep reminding us and reminding of myself, we have to keep reminding us and each one of us that the Holy Spirit didn't come to receive glory of his own self, but he came in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he comes to give God the glory and point us to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us right now. When you've stumbled, when you've made these drastic mistakes, when we've lied on God and say, God told me to do this, this, and that, and wasn't sure. Oh, God, have mercy. We need the mercy. We need the mercy. When I feel so much disdain for my enemy, I need the mercy. I need the mercy. I have to repent and ask God to put love in my heart for my enemy. Because we are higher than they. They are doing what is normal for them. We are saved. Saved. Do you know what saved means? It means I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so I read Colossians chapter 1 so that I would get down here to 15. He is the image, the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. This is who Jesus Christ. Time just don't last long enough for me to be able to tell you. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Verse 17. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn. Now, don't get me wrong, people. It ain't that building you go to on Sunday. And we get so confused and keep getting all mixed up. I know it's hard to get it straight sometimes. But you are that building that we're talking about. Not that anywhere two or three where the living God is indwelling them is the building. He is in the midst. So we assemble at a building or a location or a park or in your living room or wherever, where it's two or three of us who are gathered in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My aim, my desire, my goal, my purpose is to point you to this God. To this one who created all things, and by him all things created. This is what our purpose on this radio station is, and to teach you how to walk in it, how to claim all the things that he has so richly given you. I know you don't even know the scriptures in the Bible. He was rich and he became poor that I might be rich. It ain't just talking about money. It's talking about rich in spirit, rich in joy, rich in glory, rich in, holiness, holiness. I've been separated, set apart, made a holy vessel for the living God. Yes, I've been a bad sinner before, but I'm saved. I'm set apart. I'm glorified. I'm justified by him. Not me. You can't make yourself all those things. We can't make ourselves those things. But by him. I'm going to 1 Corinthians 13. I could live in Colossians chapter 1 and Ephesians. I can't give you enough of those. But I promised you 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified, and I am going there right now. I ain't got about the 8 more minutes. 1 Corinthians 13, and as you are, we all know it by heart, but we forget it, and so here we go, and this is the Amplified that I'm going to read it to you from. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noise gong or a clinging cymbal. Verse 2. And if I have prophetic power, the gift of interpreting and the divine will and purpose, and understanding all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, even if I possess all knowledge, y'all, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not God's love in me. Did you hear me? But if I have not God's love in me, I am nothing. Nothing unless a useless nobody. Verse 3. Even if I don't out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Verse 5. Is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own right or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. verse 6. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoice when right and truth prevail. Verse 7. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Oh, my gosh. Ooh, this is the Amplified. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes absolute or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of the interpretation, the divine will, the purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be surpassed by truth. For our knowledge is fragmented, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy, our teaching, is fragmented, incomplete, imperfect. But when the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete, the imperfect, will vanish away, become antiquated, void, and supersided. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a man, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. God told me, and as I told you earlier, when I was asking, what should I say tonight, Lord? And he told me, 1 Corinthians 13, tell them about love. Tell them about love. We all fall so short of his love. We fall short of the love of God in us for others. Yeah. But we don't fall short when he is unconditional love for me. I could come on this radio and boast and brag, God loves me more than I love me, because he first loved me before I loved him. And it's because of him that I can rejoice at all times, joy unspeakable. I have peace that passes all knowledge and understanding. Though the devil might become president, though the world be turned upside down, God is still going to be our source, and he's going to be my every need, my every pant and breath. I will seek him because I love him, because he has put his love in me. And I bid you all a good night. I bid you all the blessings. I speak blessings, blessings over your lives, over your souls, and over our neighbors' souls, and them that hate us, them that hate us, them that tell all kind of lies on us. Pray for them. And if God tell you to warn them that speak evil of you, pray about it, meditate on it, get it all in your spirit. But do warn them, because warning comes before destruction. And when they do it to the least of God's children, God cannot move until they do it to us, you guys. I'm telling you, they will not receive their reward until they do it to God's anointed. And so when they do it to us, we must bear up and forgive them and love them and feed them with bread in our hand and a place to Oh, God, it takes all of Jesus, all of him, not just a part of him, you guys. Put on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I bid you good night in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. You know, God has been so good, and he just gave us L-O-V, love, love, love. And now we got a lady, I believe, Jade is coming on. Jade, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, well, God bless you. Go on, tell what the Lord, teach us what the Lord has told you to teach us tonight.
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to give all glory to God for having me on this phone line.
It's a radio station.
On this radio station tonight, and that word that sister just gave just truly blessed me. It truly, truly blessed me. And that word was anointed. And I thank her for delivering that message unto us. And my message is based on the same thing. And it's speaking about love. Before I got on this radio line, maybe not even 5 minutes, most of you who listen pretty much daily may have heard my story of getting hit by an 18-wheeler. And in that time, we were without a car, and we do have 6 kids. So my parents let us use a loaner that they had because they have a couple of cars. And me and my husband are up and coming, so I'm sharing my testimony with you and just how Satan works, but God always wins. And
amen.
Right before I was on the line when I received the text message saying, hey, just for your information, your dad wants back his car. And I'm going to share this. When I first started changing my life, meaning following God, when I first made that dedication, I remember losing so many people around me. And even in that struggle, my parents as well. Not so much my mom, but my dad. And I couldn't understand. And I kept saying, Dad, what's wrong? My dad stopped talking to me and all of the above. But not only him, it was so many that I lost along the way. And I started noticing, but it didn't affect me much, because when you grow and you learn to who you are to Christ, nothing else really matters. The people who once you thought you were so jointly connected to as a family here on this side, it doesn't matter as much as the love of God. And that's what my message is on tonight. When I got that text message, all I could think about is the current struggles that we are facing right now. Today we moved, and today I forgot all about getting on the telephone line up until Pastor texted me a few minutes ago. And I told my husband, I said, baby, I said, I'm supposed to be on the phone line in a few minutes. I said, I need to pray. I need to figure out what my word is going to be. But God had already told me what my word would be last night. And I said, I know it's in one of those, my paper is in one of those boxes. Maybe let me go find it. And we have 1,000 boxes, but lo and behold. And when I got that text message, that devil tried to stop me because I'm tired and my body is hurting from all the moving today.
Mm-hmm.
The devil has tried to stop us from moving today. We had to end up using 2 different moving companies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is money that we, Lord knows we don't have, but he provided it for us to have.
Mm-hmm.
But he has tried to stop us today over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And when I got that text message saying, hey, we want our car back, realizing that that would leave us, a family of eight people, with one car, I said, my God, the devil is really trying to break my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one thing that the devil cannot do.
Mm-mm.
You see, I'm so in love with God.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mom said that, I've yet to respond to her because I said, you know what? I'm going to deliver this message tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, at first I started to say, I feel so weak. Maybe I just can't do it. Because that's how weak I feel. But something within me rose up and say, hey, you better open that Bible, and regardless of what may come out of your mouth, when I got on this phone, I didn't know what I was going to say. I can't lie to you. But when the Holy Spirit is indwelling in you, and God lives and dwells in you, there is nothing that can't be stopped. And, you know, I sat here, and tears started to flow.
Yes.
I felt like, Lord, why so much pain? Why that price of pain? Just because I love you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's only because I love him so much and I'm so obedient to him that we suffer day in and day out. Not only do I suffer, but everybody around me suffers. But it's okay because my faith is too strong. And I said it the other night on the station. My faith is too strong. I may be weak, but I'm operating in his strength.
In his strength.
That's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Because as weak as I felt getting on this line, my husband kept telling me, baby, stop. It is going to be okay. And the tears just couldn't stop. And I was waiting for the sister to finish speaking, and I saw that it was 8 o'clock, and I said, oh, my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to say. And then God put it on my heart, tell what's on your heart. And this is what's on my heart.
Amen.
So many people, we trust in our families, even the closest ones to us. And I'm going to say that this is my birth and biological father who rejects me because of the life that I choose to live and how I choose to live my life. But for some odd reason, when I was drinking at 15 years old and he was condoning it, my drinking, it was okay. It was all good and it was okay. But when I started to follow God, there was a hate that formed that he couldn't even be around me. But through it all, I know who my father is. And my father sits high and he looks low. So, yes, I will gladly give back that car because, no, it is not mine. But little does he know, it is not his either. Because everything here belongs to our Father, and that's what we all fail to realize. You may continuously take away, but what you're taking and what you're giving, it's not even yours to give. When we give to people, it's only God putting it on our hearts to give to those. Because nothing here belongs to us. When we die, there's nothing that we can take with us. It's all what we do here. All we can prove ourselves to be on this side. And I said, you know what? I'm not gonna say anything ugly. I'm not gonna respond in an ugly way. Right now, I'm not gonna even respond. But what I will respond to is the devil trying to defeat me. The devil trying to pull me down. And this is my response to him, is getting on this radio and fighting back and saying, devil, I won't back down. It's not in me to back down. You can keep trying your punches. And right now, I'm being tried. I'm being tried in every way, shape, and form. And if anybody, I know some people who are going, who are battling the same thing I am. And maybe no, your battle is not exactly like mine, but I guarantee you somebody is battling something. Because if you are walking with God, you will battle something. Something will fly your way. Because it's an ongoing fight. And if you start following Christ, dedication is number one. Just like the sister said earlier, with if you are straddling on that fence, the thing about it is there is no fence. Either you're going to be with Christ or you're not going to be with Christ. My grandmother used to have a saying. She used to say, tell me who you follow and I'll tell you what you are. And I never realized she would always fuss at me, and I would get into these fights with these girls, and she would fuss at me, Jade, what is wrong with you? And she'd shake her head, and she says, you know what? I'm not going to fuss at you, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Tell me who you follow, and I'll tell you what you are. And up until my adult life, I had no idea what she meant. But what she meant, that if you choose to follow God and live righteous, people will see us. They can identify us. And that's why some of them who don't follow God run away, because they're so terrified. But the people who choose to follow Satan, may God have mercy on you, because you have no idea. I encourage you, if you're following Satan, you better jump on the bandwagon of following Jesus, because he is our only hope. As I said tonight, I had nothing prepared to say. It was almost like the devil came in, and I was so built up by this sister, and it was almost like the devil came in and tried to strip me of all what she said. Because I said, listen to her. I said, this is in my notes. And I sat next to the tub by my husband, and I said, baby, just listen. Listen to this word that she is giving about love. I said, and it's so crazy that we have the same message. But as she ended her speech tonight, and I got that message, this is my way of fighting back. My way of fighting back is with love, and it will continue to be with love, because love is all I know. Love is what I've come to know. It's what it's the only thing I have to give. I have no fight left to keep on fighting with that devil. As they say, as your enemy, if my dad chooses to be my enemy, to love him for who he is. But I do have to pray about it. And I'm going to pray for him. And I'm going to pray that God changes his heart. And I know through prayer, anything is possible. But the devil tried to steal my joy tonight. And as I sit here on this phone, I can't lie to you. My heart is heavy, because we give and we give all that we have to people and in hope that sometimes they may do the same. And sometimes we do fall short, and we do fall short in putting our hope in other people. And tonight when I got that message, I felt like maybe, God, I fell a little short. Because I did put some hope in saying, okay, yeah, he's saying we can have it. Okay, it's good. Move on with whatever else is going on in our lives and carry on. But Satan always tried to throw something at you. And he threw something at me tonight. But it's okay, because I know that I'm saved. I know whose I am. I know that I am under the mighty covering of God. I know that Jesus died for me. I know how much he loved me. And I know through it all, no matter who's around, he has my back. He's the only one in my life who's yet to fail me. And he promised to never leave nor forsake me, and he has never broken a promise that he has made to me. And I got on his phone line and I said, you know what? One of my promises to him was to be in full obedience to him. And I will do just that. No matter how I feel, no matter how hurt I may be on the inside, he will restore. So I got on this phone line in full obedience to him to keep my promise to him that, Lord, I will do what you called me to do. I will speak to people. I will encourage people. I will love people. I will build people up. And I will share every aspect of me, the good, the bad, the ugly, and anything people might not even want to hear but what they need to hear. Because this is real, and this is life. People do fail us, but he never fails us. And he will never fail us. And we need to give that same unconditional love that he gives to us right back to him. Back to back. Father, I got your back. You got my back. 100%. We have got to give him our unconditional love. And, Pastor, that's what I have tonight.
Praise God. Praise God.
Well, good. His mercy endures forever. Now, can y'all imagine his God coming back to back with the word L-O-V-E? Love. Love. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only. And I want to let you know what she said. As I told her, I said, we're going to find out. We call them the millennial. Here we are, past 60. We know that we have been through the trials and tribulations. We know it's going to be a time where it's going to be a lot of disappointment, but our trust, and one thing I've said constantly to myself and to others, I have come to a point not to believe what the devil has said, but I've come to trust in God more now than ever before. No matter what he said, I said, Lord, I'm resting in what you've done for me. I know it's a done deal. It's a done deal. You gave your life for me. It's a done deal. And I was telling Tyrone, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor.
And so we were talking today. We were talking about that we men need to step up and shield some of these women who are married. Step up. Stop letting the enemy come in and try to take over and tell a woman, step in. Don't try to step out of the covering. Step into the covering. Because what God is doing, when Ella was, we were talking together, one thing we both said, there's no man like him can do what he did for us. To hang on the cross? No, I think the elders said, we don't think we can that low. To be whipped like the widow? No, we just hang up and say, okay, we give up. Ain't no way in the world. But God sent his son. And that's why what we're hearing tonight. And I got breaking news. This is not a phone line. This is a radio station. This is a radio station.
Praise God. Pastor.
Yes.
Could I share some with the little sister a minute?
You go right ahead. That's the line is open.
Okay. I hope you're still on the line. So what your father did, he confirmed who you was. He don't know it because he allowed the enemy to use him. And Satan always confirmed who the people of God is. If when your father is the spirit within your father, fighting against the spirit that is in you, trying to do things to bring you down, to hurt you, to discourage you. But like you say, you know who you belong to. You know who you are. I want to ask you to do it. It is reversed with me and my daughter. She wanted to close the door on me. But like I told her, she's the only one can open the door. I'll always be her father. I'll always be there. She got to open the door, and I'll be there for her. That's just the way it is. Ain't not going to change. The same thing with you and your father. You'll always be your father, regardless of what. And this is your test for you to show him so much love that you can win him. To say love covers a multitude of sins. So whatever he do, whatever, you show him love, you're going to win him to Christ. See, and that's what the enemy's scared of, the Christ in you. See, don't think he ain't look. Your father ain't looking at you. He know who you are. And the enemy in him know that also. You keep loving him. You keep covering him. You go win your father to Christ.
Amen.
I just wanted to share that with you, little sister.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for that.
Yes, ma'am.
Anybody else want to share with her what God has said to you? We got about 11 minutes to come to the next speaker. Amen. Go ahead. You got 11 minutes. Anybody else? I know it's been a good day for me. I don't know how y'all feel. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
I tell you, I've been whipped and beaten, stomped, and, but I just kept on pressing in. Hey, hello.
Glory to God. Yeah, this is Apostle Esther, and to the Sister Jay, I was hearing as she gave your testimony. It's a blessing because God says in His Word, when a door is shut, a greater door is open for you. And see,
amen.
When a door is shut on us, we don't like it because we don't know about the greater door. So I'm encouraging you, be ready for a blessing. Be ready for a blessing because God already knows what you have need of before you ask. And as he spoke to the other man on the line about, let God fix it with your daddy. But for you, the standing up a room is the open door. There's another door. It's another door open. And that's all I have to say. Thank you. You can read it in John chapter 20:19 about the door. And when a door is shut, another door is open. Thank you.
God bless you, sister.
Yes.
Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Well, one thing I will say is I know this much. I know tomorrow we're going to be looking at, we got choices. America's made a choice. It's going to determine how we're going to move forward and move backwards. And I say this to everybody. If you have voted, feel good. Because I asked God, I said, can you vote, God? God can't vote. He said, the people out there that said he can. And I know a lot of older people that have voted. And I want to thank God for y'all voting. And one of the things I just love God for, what God has done for us. And let me tell you, as A. Royal said, she said in a nice, kind way, she says, we got to love them anyway. If we lose, we got to love them. If we win, we got to love them. We as Christians, believers, let me tell you something that I found out in my study, and I've been saying. See, when we pray for somebody, we're talking about believers. Unbelievers don't believe in praying. Unbelievers not going to ask you for praying. That's why we must get out and do what Jesus said. Go you therefore into all the world. Listen to me, beloved. This is the best way how we can reach out to somebody. We're talking around the world. Somebody's hearing us. And right now we're getting to put all different languages when they leave from our radio station, all different languages. Somebody's listening on Facebook. Can you imagine 1 billion people that's on Facebook and they're listening to us? That's a blessing. Ain't nothing special about what we're doing. God is blessing us. I just tell you, I'm just happy as I can be. Oh, glory. Somebody But you know, y'all not be talking about it around the world. What was around the world?
Amen.
The devil can go out there. He can go in Devon Lake for his own concern. Stay where he is, amen? But I just want to say this much. Oh, God, you said so good. God is so good. And you know what God has done to me and to you? He's allowed us once again to come together on this date. In 2016, at this time, at 8:26 p.m., right here in Houston, Texas, God has allowed us once again. And everything I can think of, I said, Lord, he said, and what I found out to him, what he said to me, he said, the more you worship me, the more you praise me. He said, now you really want to get me, you really want to get me smiling and grinning and tickling heaven? He said, praise me and love me. And I told somebody, I said, I don't know how to sing. Well, I sure wish I could sing. Because when a person gets to sing, that gets God ear. When the person says, I can't sing, I said, oh, yes, you can. You just don't know it. Everybody got a song.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got a song. Everybody got a song. Everybody got a song. It may be in C flat, D flat, F flat, but everybody got a song. And don't you know, God listened, he said, oh, that's both my children down there. Oh, I know we got this lady from, I'm going to be nice tonight, Lord, I love you, Lord. But we got this lady from a place called Burnswick, Georgia, Evangelist Jeff Johnson. Your time has come. Speak to us. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for being here. We just bless the Lord because God is good all by himself. And we thank God for the word of God that we heard tonight. We just praise the Lord because God is good and he's using his people in these days of time to bring forth a word to help somebody else. And that's
amen.
What it's all about. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the reward of effective preaching. You know, a lot of times we've been called by God, and when we've been called, at first we were afraid, we didn't want to go, and just like Isaiah said that he was a perfect example about, and he didn't even feel like he was worthy, you know, to go. But one thing about it, Isaiah, the Lord asked the question, he says, who will go for me? And he wanted to know, who would go? Who shall I send? He wanted to send people out. He wanted to send us out into the hedges and the highway. He want to know, who would go for me? Are you willing to go? Are you afraid? He need people. The labor the harvest is plentiful, but the labor are few. And God need people to go, be bold soldiers today, to step out on faith and go for him. He ordained us for a purpose. We've been ordained for a purpose. And Isaiah, he felt like he had unclean lips, that he wasn't even worthy to be used of God. But God cleaned him up. He prepared him. He fixed those lips. He spoke. He was able to speak through those lips and use him for his glory. And that's what God wanted to do with us. Use us mightily for his glory. Isaiah was a willing person. He acknowledged that God was a holy God, and he took action. And then he became available. Lord, here am I. Send me. He would go. So that's what God is looking for us to do today, to go and do his will. He said, go into the hedges and the highway and compel men to be my disciples. Oh, God. The reward of an effective preacher. We want to hear God say one day, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And he said, we want to hear God give us some praise. And that's when he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And then he want to give us promotion. He want to make us rulers over many. He said he was faithful over a few things, and I'll make you rule over many. He want to give us privilege to have joy, to have recognition, to have respect, and to reach people. You know, a lot of people, they want to leave God out of this, and they want to get all, they want to get glory. I remember one time I called a young lady by her first name because that's what I knew her of, and she became a pastor, and I didn't know she had become a pastor. And when I called her by her name one day, she said, that's Pastor so-and-so. You know, God ain't going to call you no pastor. He going to call you by your name. So, but the thing about it, don't get out of character because God has seen fit to use us for his glory. What God expect out of us as a preacher, he said, I charge thee to preach the word in season and out of season. Sometimes we got to rebuke people. Sometimes we got to exalt them. But God, even when the time, we feel like the time isn't right, like we feel like, okay, God, I'm in the mall. This ain't the time to do this and do that. Yes, it is. When God give you that opportunity, you got to take it because we don't know what the next second holds. That person's life might be fitting to be taken away from them. God is leading you to be a witness to them. Hallelujah. God expects us to be prepared. He said, don't neglect your gift. He wants us to stir up the gift that's within us. And how do we do that? We got to pray. We got to fast. We got to meditate on God's word. We got to be stirred up, be prepared for God. I mean, to go out and do the will of the Lord. He expects us to be pure, pure in character. We can't act like the world. We got to have the character of God. We got to have the same mind in us that is in Christ Jesus. We got to walk after Christ and not after the world. Pure in character. Pure in reputation. We can't do the things that the world do. Our reputation is on the line. People are watching our lives. They are looking at us. We are living epistles. We are just like a mirror. When you look in the mirror, you're going to see somebody. And those people see something in our lives. And if we slip, if we messed up, we can hurt people. We can help people or we can hurt them. So we've got to be, our reputation got to be pure. It's a whole lot of preachers there. Their name is in the media today, doing all kind of things, molestation. They got people embezzling money and all kinds of stuff. And this shouldn't be named among the people of God, especially the people that God has ordained to do his will. We got to be pure in our association. Association bring about assimilation. You can't be hanging with the wrong kind of people. He said, be separated. Come out from among them. You cannot hang with the world and expect to live a holy life. How can two walk together except they agree? God expects us to be pure. He expects us to pray. He said prayer will keep you straight, on the straight and the narrow path. It'll keep you in the right way. The prayer will be able to keep us from doing things that we ain't got no business doing. It'll help us to be strong. When the devil come after us, prayer will strengthen us. Prayer will keep us in touch with our source. Jesus Christ is our source. Ain't no man, no woman, no job, no nothing is our source except the Lord himself. God expects us to preach salvation. He don't want us going around all kind of crazy stuff, but he wants us to preach about him. Let the world know that the time is now. Now is the acceptable time for salvation. Jesus is coming back, and the time is winding up. So he wants us to preach salvation, preach the word of spiritual growth, things that'll help build people up, that they will mature in Christ. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to preach the word to inspire Christian service. You know, we got to exalt one another. We got to be helpers to one another. Instead of being crabs that's trying to pull one trying to climb out the bucket, you're trying to pull them back down. Let's help. If you see one of them doing good, lift them up. Praise them. Let them know how good they are doing, how God using them. You know, let them know. You know, sometimes we need to hear that word of encouragement. Sometimes we struggle. Be struggling with our doubts and fear. You know, and say, Lord, I want to do your will, but they don't want to hear me. But I heard the Lord saying to Moses, he said, open up your mouth and I'll speak through you. All you got to do is go. I'll tell you what to say. That's what God want to do for us. Open our mouth. We got to be bold soldiers. Sometimes we struggle with families and social problems and stuff like that. But God wants us to go and do his will. Don't be fearful. God is with us. He said, I'm with you even until the end. You might struggle with doing God's will. You know, anytime we get up before God's people, we ought to be mindful. Lord, you know, sometimes you be nervous. Even though you might have been speaking for years and years, but when you get up before God, people, you want to be prepared. You want to make sure that you're not telling God people the wrong things, something that will cause them to error. And he said, woe be unto them that scatters the sheep. So we got to be in the place where we won't harm nobody. We want to make sure that we do it joyfully and be able to do the will of God. We got to, God expects us to keep his promise. I mean, you can expect God to keep his promise. One thing about God, he ain't going to say nothing to us that he didn't mean. He said, I'm not a man that I should lie. God promised us his power. In the book of Luke 10:19, he said, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, on all the enemy of the world." He said he has given us the power. So we ought to be bold enough to say, "I got the power." In the book of Acts, in 1:8, he told us, said, "I gave you power to be a witness all over the world, in Judea, Samaria. You can do it in your city, in your home, in your state. You can do it in other states. You can do it in other countries. Wherever you go, I have given you that power." He said, "After the Holy Ghost come upon you, you have power." And if you know that you got the power, we can act like we got the power. God promised us peace. He said, "Peace I leave with you." Not the kind of peace that the world giveth, but he gave us peace. And he told us to let not our heart be troubled. We don't have to be afraid. We can stand boldly, flat foot, and proclaim the word of God. Let people know Jesus saved. He said if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised you from the that raised him from the dead, then you can be saved. All you got to do is repent of your sins. And God, he will hear you. He will accept you. Hallelujah. He promised us his presence. He said, "I am with you always. I'll be there with you. You don't have to be afraid." One thing about it, God, in these last days, God is calling for people that is willing to go. What God expects out of us, that's what he expects out of people that he has ordained. He wants us to be sure of our calling. You know, I remember a young lady, she's seen a lot of people been accepting their calling, and I guess sometimes this stuff looks good to people. It looks glamorous, and they say, "I want to be there. I want to do that. I want to be up front. I want to." But let me tell you, this stuff is not an easy thing. When you give your life to Christ, and God call you, and he say, "I have use of you. I want to use you for my glory." When he called Jonah tried to run. And he ended up in the sea and was swallowed by a big fish. But he learned a lesson. He couldn't run from God. Wherever we go, God is there. He said, "If we make our bed in hell, he'll be there." We can't run from God. He said, "I chasten them whom I love." Who God want to use, he going after them. He can't make you do it, but he's going to show you that I want you. And so it's up to you to accept. "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Just give up. And God will use you for his glory. You know what? That'll make you feel good to be used by God. You might, Isaiah didn't feel worthy at the time. But he was just thankful that little old me, God saw fit to use me. And that's the way I feel. I said, "My God, Lord, I was a wretch undone. I remember the things I used to do." But God, see, when God comes into your life, you don't have to do those things no more. You won't have the desire to do it. And even if the enemy bring it to your mind, you can stand flat footed and let the devil know, "No, you don't have no grounds here. You should have had fun while you had a chance, because it's over now. It's over now. I belong to God, and he's going to use me for his glory." Oh, thank you, God. Remember, we got to remember that we are compassion people. We got to be compassionate. Jesus was compassion. He went around healing the sick, delivering people. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. And we got to be compassionate. Somebody was compassionate to us. Jesus was compassionate to us. We can never forget that we have received mercy. So we got to never forget to give mercy. We got to remember that we are always going to be criticized. It don't matter what you do, you're going to be criticized. Somebody might say she thinks she all that, or she thinks she can do this and do that so good and all that stuff. The enemy always got somebody that's aiming at you. And it's not always the world. Sometimes it's your loved ones that'll criticize you. You're going to be criticized, always. Never forget, we are always on trial. You're always being tested by Satan. Sometimes it's from the world, and sometimes it's the saints of God. They gonna come at you sometime. I tell you, it's no kind of hurt like the hurt from a saint, from the saints of God. I remember one time a young lady, she said she was a preacher, she was a minister, and I wasn't no minister or nothing, but she was a neighbor of mine. And her daughter broke into my house and stole my children's toys. All the toys I bought my children for Christmas. They were so excited. They were sharing it, showing her, showing off their stuff to her. And we left home, and she came in the house, and she got the stuff. They then showed her the brand new racing car set under the bed. They never touched it. And she took everything. And we came home, everything was gone. And it looked funny in there. I said, y'all, where's your guitar? Where's your racing car set? Where's your this and that? They, I don't know. The young lady had done came in and got it. I didn't know who took the stuff. But the Holy Spirit led me, told me to go in the backyard, look in the neighbor's yard. I looked in one yard to the right. I didn't see any evidence. But when I looked to my left, there was evidence of the toys in the lady's backyard. So I went over there to talk to her peacefully. I wasn't going to call no policeman because I figured we could have handled that. You know, she said she was safe, and I said I'm safe. So we should have been able to handle that in decent in order like we should, like saints supposed to. But when I went over there and I told her, I said, somebody went in my house and took my children's toys. And she immediately jumped to the fence. And she said, Karen did not take your, didn't go in your house. I didn't call Karen's name. I said, somebody. I didn't know. She had older children. One of them could have went in there. But she said, Karen didn't do it. So I say, well, I saw some of the toys in the backyard. All I want is my children's toys back. And it was fitting the rain. It was lightning. And she had some tall pine trees in her yard. And I was afraid to go back there, but I went and gathered our stuff. And I didn't get everything because two pieces they didn't have to the racing car set. And so I went back over there and talked to her about it. They said that the grandson took it home. And I waited till the next day, and they still didn't deliver it. So I talked to the policeman, and they told me to just tell her if they didn't give it up that I could take the child to juvenile court. And I didn't want to do that. But she talked to me nasty. This is one that's supposed to be a Christian. So this is what I'm saying. Sometimes you're going to be criticized. You're going to be dogged out by people that's even in the church. But I didn't end up taking her to court. Don't worry, I wanted to. But they told me that the Bible say that we don't supposed to take one another to court. And I didn't know that scripture then, but I'm tell you, I wanted to take her. But I wanted to tell y'all that sometimes we're going to be criticized and misused by people, but what we are looking forward to is we are expecting the reward of what an effective preacher or evangelist or minister or somebody that's carrying the word of God. We are respecting a reward. We are, out of that reward, we are respecting a promotion. When he say, well done, good, thy good and faithful servant, that's, he's giving us praise. He's giving us praise because we did what we what he told us to do, and he said it was well done. And then he's going to give us promotion. He said, I will make you rulers over many. So you was faithful over a few things, so I'm going to make you ruler over many. Then he gives us a privilege. He said, enter into the joy, of the Lord. That's what he gives us, joy of recognition, joy of respect, and joy of reaching God's people. It makes me feel good when I go to the nursing home. Today, I went to the nursing home today, and we had service, and I mean, I felt good. And I let those people know how they make me feel. Just for them coming to service, and the room be full. It's amazing how they are hungry and thirst after righteousness. And the Bible says they shall be filled. But our job is to do what God has called us to do, and God is going to give us that reward that he promised us, that crown of life, that, oh, we're going to be living in our mansion, and we will have no more trouble, no more sorrow, no more heartache. We're going to have nothing but joy, peace, love. Oh, God, every day going to be like Sunday. We're going to tell God, thank you right now, because God is a good God. And that's our reward of being an effective preacher. Amen. Just being alive in the arms of Jesus is a blessing. Being alive in the arms of Jesus is a blessing. Through the storm and through the rain, through all my heartache and my pain.
Okay. Great job. You've done it. And thank you for calling. This is my first time that has called me tonight. But I'm working the polls tomorrow.
Being alive in the arms of Jesus is a blessing. Being alive in the arms of Jesus is a blessing. My heartache and my pain, in the midst of it all, I thank you, Jesus, for my blessing. I'm gonna be talked about sometime, but I thank you for my blessing. I'm going to keep on preaching your word. Thank you for my blessing. I'm going to be misused. Thank you for my blessing. You told me to count it all joy. Thank you for my blessing. I gotta tell God, thank you for my blessing in the midst of it all. I thank you, Jesus, for my blessing. I'm looking forward to my reward. Amen.
His mercy endures forever. And you know one thing I'm going to say tonight? We know that we're going to have, now we've been talking about it.
Amen.
We had love telling to us twice. And tonight is a night that all we can say is, because we know that God is so good to us.
Thank you,
and
God.
You know, amen. And you know, when you look at what Isaiah said, and Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call unto me.
Yes.
Call unto me. He says,
yes.
Call unto me. Now, why does he want us to call unto him? Because he gets a lot of joy of us calling on him. That's how God will help us. He will bless
mm-hmm.
us. See, that was in the Old Testament. The New Testament, Jesus said, when you call on him, do continue. He said, but use my name. As the old people say, he said, when you're going to give me a blessing, he said, give me a turkey leg and some black-eyed peas and some cornbread. He said, and that was his way of saying something. But, you know, we're living in a time right now in America where all of them, we're going to have to learn how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to learn how to pray more now than ever. Because we're in a time right now. I don't care what nobody say. And one of the things I done said to some of the preachers I know who said, and they did, they said, how in the world are you, well, that's for another message. But I want to say this, and all I gotta say is, sometimes when you know what's in your house, you got to kick it out of your house.
Just like
they showed on the television, that was in the airplane. Here was a great big old green snake up there. How do you get in there? Somebody said, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you. So, how did the devil get into the Republican Party? Somebody said, I don't know. They lied. They knew. Didn't vote for it. They knew. But hear what God is saying to us. We are as believers. We got to pray for the believer. You pray for me and
mm-hmm.
I pray for you. Because we got
yes.
a whole hell going on in this country.
So much hate.
I've never seen so much hate. You can feel it vibrating. Folks will look at you now and have to say, why are you here? And I'll be saying, wait a minute, come on now. I'm going to be like the president. Come on, man.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, amen. But I know we've got a lot of people on the line, but a lot of them have dropped off, and we got about 5 more people on the line. And I'll give us another 15 more minutes on the line. Anybody else got anything you want to say? Amen. Anybody else that's on the line with us tonight? Amen. Because I know. Now go to sleep tonight and remember these words. When you know what God is doing for you, remember
mm-hmm.
He can do it to you. He can do it. And sometimes, some people that I've come in contact, they don't want to kneel their face toward God. Let me tell you, when Israel prayed to God, if you go and read the Old Testament, you find that there were men, the high priests and all of them, the trumpeters, the dancers, they were praising God. Folks don't want to do that no more. They kind of set up they're going to do it this way and that way. And you know what? I like the message has been heard tonight. I'm getting happy. I've been happy. But the more I hear what y'all have said tonight, it has
mm-hmm.
blessed me. And see, I'm going to tell you, what I've gone through, God has told me some things. He said, that those who are going to be in the lead, you will have to be whipped with many stripes.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are in the lead, you're going to be whipped with many stripes.
Sometimes
I can't tell you what I've been through. But I keep pressing on.
Amen.
Now, when I heard Sister Jay talk about what God had done, and he is her own biological father, her own and I know that they got, now I'm going to whisper this to you, don't tell them what I told you, but her mom and daddy got plenty of money. And I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It'll all keep creeping away because they don't start watching them. When they saw you doing wrong, what do? They didn't fuss at you. But now you're doing what God said. They upset at you. And you don't fuss somebody but the devil. He ain't about the devil.
That's it.
Amen. Amen. And I want you to know one thing that we can say tonight. Nobody else, anybody else got it? Does anybody on the line have anything they want to say that God has put on your heart to send out to this, to the nations around the world? Now is your time. Now is your time.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Let me share this with you. I was supposed to go out yesterday and preach the word here in Houston, Texas, but I was near Sugar Land. And I kept saying to God, told me to come, but he didn't give me the direct address. But I kept saying, God, what is this about? God, I drove out there, my driver to drive me out there, and we looked and we prayed and we looked and we prayed. And I told him, I said, man, God got this in hand. I don't know why God, I said, but God in the name of Jesus Christ got it in hand. When I said to preach, he didn't get a preach, but we know he did call me today. He said, Dr. Turner, he said, I want to let you know, I was having an issue yesterday. He told me, he said, I wanted you not to come, and I kept praying for you that you not show up. And I was wondering why the man was praying so. He said, because I didn't want to insult you, because I want you to become an apostle with me. I want you to let me come under your ministry. I said, what? See, when you allow God,
yes,
he'll do it.
Amen.
Amen. Then he asked me, he says, I want you to come back down there. Got a big church. But I know he had a fight with his deacons and down there. But when the three God's from them, God is calling, like he said to Atlanta, God is calling. Words with me. He's calling for those of us. Are you Isaiah? Are you Jeremiah? Are you Ezekiel? Who are you? Are you Moses? Just be who you're supposed to be in the body of Christ. And I want to tell you, that just lifted me so high when I got the word. He said, Mr. Ernest, I was so nervous. I said, you don't have to be nervous about me. I said, I'm doing God's will. And I always say, it's a done deal.
Amen.
He said, what? I said, it's a done deal.
Amen.
He said, I said, it's a done deal. And so I go back out there on December the 1st and minister to them. I'm not afraid of ministering.
Amen.
See, I'll slap the devil upside his head in a minute because he's going to go hit it back at me. Amen.
Got strength. Amen.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, I tell you what, Cynthia, will you take us out in prayer for the night? So tomorrow, when we come back tomorrow night, we'll know who our new president is. We'll thank God either way, okay?
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this night, God. We thank you for the day that you have made. And, God, we rejoice and be glad in it. God, we got a right to rejoice in you, God. For you are our help. You are our source. You are our shepherd. God, you are our provider. And God, we thank you, God, for whoever you put in office, God. Lord, you do it, God. And hallelujah, you get the glory, God. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for the victory in Jesus, oh God. Lord, you lead and direct them, oh God. Bless your people in spite of, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we give you the honor and the glory. God, we ask you to look upon each and every one of your people. Oh, God, strengthen us as we go forth and give your word, as we stand before your people. God, don't let us take it lightly. Oh, God, help us to be ready when you call us to do, to be a witness to somebody, so that we will be effective, so that somebody will come and say, I yield, I give up. I want to come to the Lord. Hallelujah, while I have a chance. Oh, God, for now is the acceptable time of salvation. God, you told us in your word, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. God, we ask you for souls on top of souls. Lord, as this word go out, God, we speak salvation into the homes, into the, oh God, the churches, oh God, into our families, oh God. We call these people unto salvation, and we say, Satan, take your hands off right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God has given us the authority. He said, whatsoever we bind on earth, he'll bind it in heaven. And we bind you up right now, and we lose salvation. We declare and we decree in Jesus' name. Lord, bless Dr. Hunter, oh God. Help him to keep his vision. Any enemy that come against him, Lord, you said if they shoot an arrow at him, you will shoot an arrow back at him. No weapon that form against him shall prosper. In Jesus' name. God, we bless you for each and every one of the saints that come on this radio that's doing your will. And God, we speak a blessing in their life. I'm talking about a blessing that they won't have room enough to receive, but it will be a blessing to somebody else. In Jesus' name, keep us, God, until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.